B-Pod Studios.
Thanks for choosing Felger and Maz to entertain and inform you in the afternoon.
E-class.
Felger and Maz. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Here's third and four with Rodgers. Calmly retreating, looking for something. Flag is down as he throws to the end zone. Incomplete.
Illegal use of hands. Hands to the face. Defense. Where?
That's on the left shoulder once again. We're on the left shoulder.
Two illegal hands to the face penalties in the second half for Trey Flowers.
And it shouldn't have been called tonight. Let's make sure we let America know that. That's twice. The first time it cost them a sack. This time it cost them the game. When blown calls, when blatant calls cost teams football games, that's where we as players, the coaches, and even the fans in America, if we can see it, the officials should be able to see that. And I think that's why we're all a little bit disgruntled.
That was a controversy last night. Felger Maz here, final hour, 98.5 The Sports Hub and 98.5thesportshub.com, the app. Catch that anytime. We are off the simulcast, so this is the only place you can catch us live and local. Join us at 617-779-0985. Back to your calls on everything. Zach in Leominster. Hi, Zach.
Hey, so yeah, I knew the fix was in even before those Trey Flowers penalties. There was the third and short for the Lions. They complete the dump off for the first down going in to score a touchdown, and then they challenge the fumble, and it gets overturned after he took three steps and then fumbled. Booger kept saying, oh, this is terrible. Yeah, of course that was a completed pass. And then there was the PI that Matt Patricia just for some reason didn't challenge. What was up with that? Thanks,
okay,
guys.
Okay, so the PI was not going to be reversed. It was pass interference. Deep ball where the Packers defensive back got his hand in there, clearly sort of restricted that receiver, and the flag did not come out. But you can't get these things overturned on replay. No one's overturning them. I think it's something like 0 for the last 27 have been upheld. So we've seen this. They're not going to reverse it on replay. So that's why Patricia doesn't throw the flag there. On that catch to the running back, did you ever go back and look at it?
I did. I looked at it. I thought it was incomplete.
It was super close. It was super close. He took two steps, but not the third. And what was sort of fishy, or I just didn't like, is that the referee expert, was it Perry, who was in the booth? Immediately, the ref called it a completion. A completion and then a fumble out of bounds. He threw the little blue beanie, little blue beanbag. And Perry upstairs in the booth goes, I like this call. I like this call. It's a catch. And then they go to commercial after the challenge, and then they come back. And he says, oh, I like this reversal, and they reverse it. Like, what happened to you, Perry?
Well, somebody got to him. And that's the other thing, too, is I'm willing to bet that there is direct communication with some of those guys in the booth. I believe.
I can confirm this. I heard through my officiating sources, I have some. Remember that disputed interception in Buffalo that no one around here talked about because
one on the sideline.
It went in your favor.
Yeah.
The third wretched Josh Allen interception where the Buffalo receiver, was it Zay Jones, was out of bounds when he touched the ball. And Sterator came back a couple minutes later and said, I have this as an incompletion and this should not have been an interception. Sterator actually called around. He had to call to confirm it before they let him go on air with it. So he called either the league.
I'm not surprised by that at all.
Or someone. He got it confirmed.
Yeah, I'm not surprised by that at all.
Before he went back on the air and say they got this wrong. This should have been an incompletion, not an interception.
So I wondered, in fact, you know what? That's sort of the day that I said, wait a minute. He went back and looked at this play. Like, I sort of wondered if someone from the league called him and said, no, you know what? Here's what we did miss. And then he went on the air with it. So, like, but to me, that absolutely happens. There's no two ways about it. That, you know, especially if it's during a commercial break, hey, get a hold of those guys in the booth, let them know. Tell them this is what we're going to call and this is why. And then the guy reverses field and says, no, this is actually a good call. I didn't think he had possession of the ball long enough to be a completion.
Boy, it really could have gone
either way,
though.
It was close, but he did. He hit it on his leg, right?
Well.
And that's what popped it out?
I thought it just slipped out of his hands, but whatever.
I think when he raised his running and his leg came up and knocked it out.
That is a 50-50 call. And it went the Packers' way, as most of them did down the stretch last night. Scott and Southie. Go ahead, Scott.
Quick segue. So, this is a little bit over a decade ago, but
November 16th, Steelers versus the Chargers. Paul Amalo, I'm kind of hoping Murray remembers this. Paul Amalo scoops up scores a touchdown. It was no time left. They call it a touchdown. Then they don't. Then they call it. They reverse themselves. And then what happened with the betting expert that called in said it was, that's basically what happened last night. So I don't think this is something that's across the board that, you know, the NFL is constantly fixing games, but there is something to be said about these prime time or big afternoon games when there's a lot of money on the line and these types of things happen.
Okay, so I'm just going to cut you off because I have no idea what you're talking about, Chargers, Steelers, yeah, 10 years ago. I just, how many refs are on a crew? It's like nine guys on those crews? So they all have to be in cahoots, you understand? I mean, it's not like it's one thing if it's a basketball ref, there's two or three guys, Tim Donaghy and a couple guys, like easy, or a hockey ref or whatever, you know?
Well, right, and it's so much easier in basketball. You just, call fouls on the best player.
But there's only three refs. You don't need much of a conspiracy. You only need one, really. So what's, if these games are rigged, Lifshatz, are all nine refs on the, that umpire's got to be in the bag, but then so does the back judge who didn't throw the PI, and then so does the replay official.
Maybe the cut's big enough to make it worth it for all nine.
But I just don't think it's realistic.
No, nor do I. I told you, the only time I really question NFL officiating, and I wonder whether it's rigged. I say rigged.
Managed.
Managed. Better word. Managed is, again, in a blowout game, you'll see a team that's losing start to get a couple of calls when they have a possession maybe and start to let them back in the game a little bit. Or if there's a questionable PI or something, then the offense comes up on the next play, they call a holding penalty, and they go back 10 yards. I think that kind of stuff happens all the time.
Okay, something.
But rigging the spread? No way.
Something we're kicking around, and too bad the NFL isn't like this. If they had a real trade deadline like other leagues, there could be some interesting moves out there. We're hitting on, Cam Newton. Where should he go? Craig and Lynn, go.
Hey, so I actually you guys brought up the Cam Newton trade. Teams that I thought would be more preferable him to go to is Cincinnati. Cincinnati's been trying to make it back to the playoffs and win a championship, and they got some of the offensive weapons to do it, but
boo.
They don't have the quarterback.
Boo. I don't mean to boo you, Craig. I don't mean to shame you, but no, the whole idea is he goes to a contender for the stretch run. This is what would happen if there was an ace pitcher on a bad team, Zach Greinke, going to a team in contention for the stretch. This is what we're talking about.
Cincinnati's been trying to win a Super Bowl since when?
Since forever, but what?
No, no, no. Really?
No, but
I don't think they're trying at all.
They make that one in 88.
Some of these callers don't understand the spirit of the thing.
No, look, it's about going to a team that he would make a difference on right away.
What team is a quarterback short of a Super Bowl run? Chicago, arguably one or two best defenses in the league with you, 1 or 1A, who actually has nice offensive pieces there, but no quarterback. Chicago would be perfect. You mentioned Tennessee, who just is benching Mariota and considering going to
Ryan Tannehill.
That'd be a nice fit.
Buffalo,
excellent. One of the top five defenses in the league, no quarterback play. That'd be a fun trade.
Maz brought up Pittsburgh.
Fun trade. Cincinnati, get out of here with that.
No, you would need to put them in one of these quarterbacks, whether it's Cam Newton, Matt Ryan.
Okay, so let me ask about why would Atlanta trade Matt? They still, the whole idea of Carolina trading Cam Newton is that they think they might have the next guy. Atlanta doesn't have the next guy. They can't do that.
No,
but he's getting up there.
Yeah, see, I just think Atlanta's looking at a rebuild.
Are they?
Well, that's what I think.
You don't think a new coach could come in there and turn them around immediately? Not that I've already spent too much time on the Falcons, but...
The franchise has been broken since that Super Bowl.
Yeah,
it's a disaster.
If I were them, I would move some people. I would.
He's like Matt Ryan's like 35?
They won't. But
teams don't do this, but if they did, it'd be fun.
No, they never do it in that league. It's rare. You'll see when the Patriots made that Aqib Talib trade, that was a significant in-season move. You almost never see that in the NFL.
Marcus Peters just got traded an hour ago.
To the Ravens, yeah.
Marcus Peters just went to the Ravens.
It's a good one.
Good one. He's a perfect Raven, isn't he?
He's another team, too. I put him on my list of places for Cam Newton if they didn't have Lamar Jackson. They won't do it because they'll go with it, but Newton would be a good Raven, too. He's perfect for that team.
Steven Somerville, what do you got for us?
Hey, thanks for taking the call. Going off what you just said about where Cam Newton should go, it's kind of similar with the Ravens, but I think he'd be a perfect fit on the Rams team as a quarterback. But the reason for my main call is going back to your point about Brady and rookie receivers. You know, we keep hearing in the national media how the Patriots need to trade for a wide receiver. You know, when we're healthy, I'm still comfortable going with Josh Gordon, Edelman, and Dorsett. In my opinion, if we're going to make a move, we need to get a blocking tight end or another left tackle. And the fact that Brady, for the first time in his entire career, worshipped a rookie left tackle in Isaiah Wynn, saying that we hope he comes back. You know, that paints a damn pretty good picture of how he thinks of Newhouse at left tackle and the lack of blocking tight ends. But I'd love to hear your thoughts on this.
So I'm with you that I think those other pieces, I'd rather see them get an offensive lineman than a receiver. Not that they have to overspend for a fullback, but I think there are bigger needs than receiver. I think if you invested in Jacoby Myers and Brady really worked with them, that you have a good chance of bringing him along. And again, if Dorsett and Gordon are healthy and Edelman's out there, that's fine. You're good. With your defense, you're good. I'm not telling you that you're great, that you've got the best offense in the league, but you got enough offense, especially considering Brady and the coaching, to complement your defense. So that's that. And so work with Jacoby Myers, for crying out loud. And I think maybe they addressed it today because they added a receiver to the practice squad. So maybe Jacoby Myers, who had been working on the scout team, can now take actual offensive reps with Brady during the week and get more work with Brady during the week, and someone else can take the practice squad stuff. And maybe that will bring him along. I think that was a needed thing. We talked about that yesterday.
They could still use another move, though, because I'll tell you what worries me now is just the sheer numbers. Like, you know, can you count on Gordon? Can you really count on Josh Gordon at this stage? I mean, like, you know, who knows? A, when he's out there, he hasn't looked like the same guy. Not that he ever has, but, you know, he hasn't looked good. And so now he's injured on top of it. Edelman's beaten up a little bit.
So Gordon worries me. Can I just stop you on Gordon?
Yeah, sure.
Because I don't think he was moving well even before
exactly.
He allegedly got hurt. I thought that he looked like crap when he was... So this was on the scoop and score. This was on the strip sack that he was chasing down the Giants player that he got bent backwards. I thought he was limping when he was chasing him down the field, or ginger. You know, he was ginger on that leg. So I think he's got an existing thing and still doesn't feel like he's in great shape even before he got bent backwards.
Exactly. So I just think that, again, you don't know what you're going to get from Harry. But let's say those guys actually give you a little something. You're only six games in. I mean, you've got 10 more to go, plus three in the playoffs. It wouldn't kill me to see them get another body.
Okay, we continue with your thoughts after these words.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mass on 98.5.
Oh, I like this.
This is Felger and Mass.
Part of me wants to do it just to feel what that feels like.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Sports Hub. Sports Hub. Sports Hub.
Do you look at the strength of schedule? I know you're just playing the people that are in front of you, but you guys and the 49ers, the two last undefeated teams in the NFL, have had the easiest schedules. Do you look at that and do you think it's going to get harder as you go? How do you view that?
Well, I think it's definitely going to get harder as we go. And not only the teams we face, but just, again, the attrition over the course of the season. So you play with new players. You know, there's always changes to the roster as you move forward. You play in more challenging elements. You know, we've had pretty good weather thus far. Now it starts to get a little colder, a little windier. You know, more precipitation, could be snow. You get really the competitive stamina wanes in some people, you know, where a lot of teams and players have hoped for a great year, and at this point they realize they're probably looking forward to next year. So you're dealing with just a lot of emotional aspects of the game too. So I definitely know the season's going to get harder as we go. It's always been the case, and had a lot of experience over 20 years realizing that you got to be very mentally tough to play this game, and that's one of the reasons why.
That's Tom Brady on the schedule. It's still the easiest schedule in the league. They're fine. They're fine on that. There's not more than two or three losses on their schedule. So they're going to be the number one seed. They'll get a tomato can Saturday night of the divisional round, host the AFC title game, who they will wipe the floor with. So it just, as we talk about things not working out, the problems on offense, which are real, Brady's pity party, which is real, Brady not opening himself up to younger players and trusting them is real, the Antonio Brown mistake, real, the Michael Bennett mistake, real, ain't gonna matter. And on the Michael Bennett thing, just the more I think of it, like, what a BS artist this guy is. So they suspend him for conduct detrimental for an altercation with Brett Bielema, the defensive line coach, on Friday, Bennett, of course, releases a statement through what, or gives a statement to who?
To ESPN. It was some guy that works for ESPN.
Okay. They said Schultz Sports or something. I don't know.
But he works for ESPN.
Okay. So he said, would you have it in front of you?
Yeah. On Friday, I had a philosophical disagreement.
Stop. Do you get suspended for philosophical disagreements?
No, you get suspended for calling your coach an a-hole and threatening him to beat his head in.
I was going to say, you get it. Even if you tell him to go F himself, like, is that enough? Like, is Bill going to...
No, it's got to be threatening.
If you're valuable to the team, and Bill's, if you're Bill's guy, and you tell an assistant coach to go F himself, is Bill going to suspend you?
Might bench you for a game.
Maybe
a Super Bowl or something.
Right. Well, no. If that assistant coach is your son, then maybe there's a higher degree.
I mean, I go back and forth
on
this.
But if it's Bilma, that boob...
It's okay, one of his boys,
that's
though.
That's one of his guys.
Yeah.
Might as well be a son.
The reason you have Bobos like Brett Bielema around is so players can tell them to go F themselves.
Yeah, but I think Bill does believe in sort of the hierarchy.
It almost got physical. That's why you suspended.
So probably, yeah. Look, I think at the end of
what
the day...
What could he possibly have...
Maybe called him a fat pig.
So? You suspend him for that? If he's helping you win football games?
No, I mean, but again, I told you, I go back and forth because, you know, and look, it was a half-assed... what's the word? I'm like, disciplined. But the Wes Welker thing.
Philosophical differences. Shut up.
Wes Welker made a comment about another coach's feet, and he, in theory, sat out a series. I know he was back there returning a punt, but I thought that was stupid. Like, Bill couldn't let that one go? I know it was half-assed, the suspension or the penalty to Welker, but sometimes I wonder if Bill's, you know, tries to maintain that whole sort of...
All I'm saying is...
Team culture.
That's a tough environment, a competitive environment where they get after each other all the time. If you can't tell an assistant coach to F off every now and then, if you're going to suspend a guy every time he tells an assistant coach to go F himself, I'm sorry.
Yeah, but there's still a hierarchy.
Fielding a team.
As a coach, he's above the player. It's not like I could go to Rick Radzik, our assistant program director, and tell him to F off just because he's the assistant
program
director.
Different. Again, this is a locker room. It's
sure
a
you could.
Pro sports environment. It's debatable. Yeah. Your scenario. But I it's different in that world. They're harder on each other, and they're harsher to each other. All of that.
The thing I find more interesting about this statement, though, that he gave is, I apologize to my teammates for any distraction this may have caused. My teammates? Okay. But where are the coaches? So there's no apology to the coaches.
Yeah, I don't apologize to Bielma, that a-hole.
Yeah, he can go F himself.
Bill, anyone like that.
Look, he's out. He's out. He's gone.
Maybe the philosophical difference is it's just he's being purposely tongue-in-cheek. Like, I remember when I was on the beat in New England, and I would, you know, request guys for interviews. I'd like to talk to so-and-so. I'd like to talk to so-and-so. And Stacey James would come back to me and say, they respectfully declined. Which became a euphemism for...
Tell Felger to screw.
F him. No effing way with that effing a-hole. Yeah, you know, is what that means when they say they respectfully declined.
No, yeah, it was they disrespectfully declined.
It means he tell her to go F himself and sit on it.
I got that every now and then.
Maybe that's what Bennett was doing there, but philosophical differences. So, you know, maybe another offseason mistake. It's what it's looking like here.
Or maybe Michael Bennett looked at Bielema and said, you know what? The fact that you don't play me means you're an effing moron. And that's what did the trick.
Chris in the car. Go ahead. What do you think?
Hey, guys. So I was a little hesitant on the Michael Bennett signing in the first place because of his inability to fit in our defensive scheme. He seemed to have a better scheme in Philadelphia. And you could see it. And his snap count has gone way down through the season. And now with this antic, do you think it was Bill just preserving his body because he knows that he's not going to fit in our system?
No.
And we can use him for a trade?
So, I mean, no, not for a trade, Chris. I mean, there's people who thought it was load management because you need him in December, not September, which is fine on paper, and some teams might handle it that way. The Patriots are not historically a load management team. In fact, they're the opposite. Don't we get into these regular season games where it's 35-7 and Tom Brady's out there and Julian Edelman's out there and Rob Gronkowski's blocking for extra points, and we're like, or, you know, Edelman is returning punts and you're up 45 points in the fourth quarter, and you're like, what are you doing? So I don't think that they do load management here.
Well, I don't know. Don't you think it depends on who it is?
Well, name a guy that they load managed.
Gronk?
Kind of, maybe with how they used him. You know, he was out there a ton. He played a ton last year, but he didn't.
Yeah, so, but I think...
So the amount that they sent him down the middle was reduced. That's fair.
How about Hightower?
I don't know. I don't think he was healthy. He's playing a crap ton now.
Didn't he miss a game this year?
Has he?
Yeah, he missed the Buffalo game.
Remember?
I don't.
He did. He missed one.
You wouldn't have noticed because the defense is so damn good.
Yeah, right. Was it before the Thursday night game? I don't. In any case,
he missed the Buffalo game.
Yeah, I'm just getting my schedule mixed up in my head. So I don't know. I felt like with Hightower, I think they do it. I think that if a guy's a little nicked up and he normally would play, they'd say, you know what, hold him out. We can beat this team without him.
Well, do you think that's what's going on with Bennett?
No, I mean
three snaps in the first half.
I was trying to convince myself of that, but that ain't what.
No, no. So listen, the last game put it over the edge. Okay, if you told me that he was playing half the snaps, which going into the Giants game, he was at, what, 48% in the previous game or 48% for the year, I think it was. If you want to tell me that they're holding him out half the snaps, because when they get to that iron in the middle of the schedule, when they get into Baltimore, Philly, Dallas, those are going to be tough, physical, mean games, and they want him out there, I would have bought it. 11 snaps?
No, come on. He went down from 24 to 14 to 11 snaps the last three games.
Yeah, and then he gets suspended for going off on a coach.
So it's not load management.
So, no, I don't think it is. At one point, I did. I don't think it's that anymore. And honestly, I think he's gone. This should put it over the edge. See you later. He's out.
Pete in Milton, give me another thought on last night.
As tough a night as those referees had, you can't ignore this poor wide receiver on Green Bay. Not only does he muff that punt looking like a fourth grader in like
Shepherd
ball,
yep,
backing up trying to catch the ball, but then he slips on that touchdown pass on the goal line. Like you said, not only does he slip and miss the ball, but it doinks him right on the forehead
face,
and then after all that gets intercepted and then returned 45 or 50 yards or whatever. I think he was the one that wanted to get out of there more towards the end there than anyone else.
Yeah, what was fixed? Who was bought off? It was that Shepherd kid. Boy, does he blow.
And I thought Aaron Jones looked worse on the ball that hit him off the hands.
Well, and the Packers kept putting him back there. Shepherd was returning punts all night. He kept returning the ball out of the end zone on the kickoffs. I'm like, take a knee, you idiot, or get him off the field. Like, that's, again, the coaching there in Green Bay. It's like, are you paying attention to this Shepherd kid?
I mean, I wondered the same thing about the Packers last night. They just looked sloppy. And it was one of those games where you did look at it and say, this coach is not going to get them anywhere. I mean, not the way they looked last night. They were lucky to win that game. Boy, were they lucky.
Here's our gal, Pink Hat, in Medford. Hi, Pink Hat.
Hey, how you doing? I've been trying to get a hold of you.
Where you been? Yeah, hey. Pinky, where you been?
Hey, happy birthday to you on the 28th. It's coming up.
Oh, you know that. Good job.
Wow.
I do.
Well, that's scary. Go ahead.
Okay, it's my mother's birthday. That's why I know.
Right. That makes sense.
All right. So here it is, right? Tom isn't pouting. Tom is angry because he's read the wall. The wall says, hey, no contract. They stack the defense in the offseason. They don't give him any tight ends. They're just saying, hey, buddy, there's a door. We want you to retire at the end of the season. This is why he's mad. This is why he's pouting.
Oh, I get it. But, you know, it's a team, Pink Hat. You don't always get what you want. You got to, like, sometimes there's different position groups that are better, and they build a team a certain way, and you just got to fit in. Like, that's the deal.
I agree, but I don't think he sees it that way. He sees it, hey, look, they didn't give me a contract. They don't want me back. They stacked the defense. They don't want me back. They gave me no tight ends. They don't want me back. They're planning for the next young guy to come in and take my place. I'm telling you, this is why
okay.
He's pouting.
I get it. I think you're right, mostly. He's still the Super Bowl favorite. So why don't you suck it up, win the Super Bowl, and then, you know, you've got freedom. If you don't like it, go somewhere else.
Well, because right now he's bored. You know, they're playing garbage. I'm serious.
He needs to make it interesting on himself.
Yeah, I'm serious. I think he's bored. I think he knows that the other team's not going to score. And so, you know, he wants to go out and put up 40 and at least have an easy week. And it doesn't work that way. And he gets frustrated because there's no challenge in the game whatsoever. He can win without scoring, as he's been doing, for crying out loud. And so I think once they get to that real part of the schedule, I think you'll see a higher level of focus from him. But her point, I mean, if you're Brady, again, I'm trying to look at it from his perspective. Ooh, your piss has been going on 2 years. You didn't have receivers last year. You let all his guys go, and then your solution was to bring in a guy who's basically been suspended for 5 years or 3 years or whatever it is in Josh Gordon because he can't get himself straight. That's your answer? That's what you brought me?
Yeah, like, instead, he's been given the best defense in the league and the best head coach in the history of football.
Okay, so I get that.
So he'll be fine.
I get that. But I can understand where the frustration comes from. Quarterbacks want to throw. That's what they want to do. He wants to throw.
We continue with your thoughts on last night's the refereeing crisis in the league. Is that too dramatic to say that we're having an officiating crisis in the NFL?
No, I think that's fair.
I think that's a good,
accurate.
Thank you. Okay, we continue with your thoughts on the officiating crisis in the NFL right after.
Sometimes they're hot on the topic.
Yes!
No!
Yes!
No!
Yes!
Felger and Maz, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Third down and 10 for Rodgers. Running out of options and then going down. And a flag comes down at the end there.
Illegal use of hands to the face, defense.
I'm trying to figure out, when does he actually put hands to the face there? I got a shoulder pad, John Perry.
Boog, you're right.
And that's why you see Trey Flowers. He is so upset because he knows his hand was not on the face mask, and the referee, Cleve Blakeman, they got fooled there.
So that was the first of the two. We continue with your thoughts. Sean in Manchester on the refs last night. Go ahead, Sean.
Yeah, I obviously thought the first hand to the face mask was the more important of the two.
Sean, hold your phone like a pizza. Try it again. Go.
Sorry. I thought the first of the hand to the face was worse, obviously. But apparently the rest...
Still not good enough. I'm sorry. So I put a little bit, and someone equated this to victim shaming. The second one, they were both bad calls. But you've gotten bad calls across the league on this stuff because they told the refs to emphasize hands to the face. So it's being called like crazy across the league. And a lot of times it's a bad call because when you tell a ref to overemphasize it, they're going to throw it if it's close because they were told to do it. So that's the first thing last night. And I think Trey Flowers has to recognize that a little bit. That umpire that threw the flag is standing right there behind him, right, watching his matchup. It's a thing that's right in his field of vision. And he got called for it the series before by the same ump. And then he gets it to what was at that point the most important play of the game and does the exact same thing, puts his hand in the exact same place, sort of gives Bakhtiari, the left tackle there, the chance to embellish, which he does. And the ref throws the flag again on him. So it's like a little bit is on Flowers. It says the guy's still right there. He just called this on you 5 minutes ago. He's going to do it again. So be a little more careful.
Yeah, that part of it I can't necessarily disagree with, because if they call you for it once, they'll call you for it again. I mean, that's really what you're saying. The first of the two calls, ooh, that was huge. That was a huge one.
It's a big one because they were off the field.
I mean, you get the ball back like that. That's the one that made it a game. All of a sudden, now they're in the end zone, and now you're 22-20, and you're fighting for a win. Whereas you're up nine, you get the ball, you milk the clock a little, you're in great shape. That was a game-changing call.
Kevin in the car, he joins us next. Hi, Kevin.
Two quick things, bear with me. So the comparison of, milking a player or, holding him out, what about Chris Long? I know we, traded for him. He had the 1 year, went up winning the Super Bowl. He kind of played well in the playoffs. And also, one of these referees needs to take a ball to the Schmenzer a few times, like the scene right out of the longest yard from Adam Sandler. So I think that'll teach him a real good lesson. Okay. Playing up with you guys. Thank you.
Yeah. The ref itself is like I put down on the list. So fire this umpire. Fire him. Fire Al Riveron. Go ahead. Fire him. They're incompetent. Who are you going to hire?
I don't know. Is
the next guy going to be any better?
No. And it'll probably be worse, but I want a skull for now. I want a scalp. I want some blood. I demand justice. Like most fans who felt like they were watching a product that was unrecognizable last night or a product that didn't seem like it was actually on the level.
I mean, it is an institutional problem, though. That's really what you're getting at. It's not so much about the individuals as it is about the institution.
I think, and I'll say it for the 1,000,000th time, it's like NBA refs. It's an impossible... When the league is throwing all those emphases at you, and we want you to look at this and that, and look this and that and this and that, and we want you to call it tight to send the message early in the year. This is exactly what you're going to get. And the guys are going too fast and they're too big to call it the way that you want it called. It's just, it's impossible, like basketball.
Then bring on the robots. If the supermarkets can have Marty the talking robot, then the NFL and professional sports can work in the robots.
Marty the Talking Robot.
You haven't seen him at Stop and Shop
yet?
What
the hell are you talking about?
Oh, you well, you probably don't. You probably have someone go to the store for
him. Oh, no,
you.
I go to the store.
Oh, no, he doesn't go to Stop and Shop.
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
Oh, no, no, he's
I only go to Whole Foods.
That's not true. What's the market right here next to us?
That's a Star Market.
Oh, yeah. But I would if that were Stop and Shop. I'd go. Yeah, sure.
Every other like Stop and Shop now, they're working in Marty the Talking Robot.
There's a Talking Robot?
Oh, you'll want to smash the thing with a bat.
You're going with a baseball bat, yeah.
Yeah, that's what I want. And you see, I'm going to get away from me.
Oh, well, I haven't seen this yet either, though.
Oh, you'll love it. He'll love it. Yeah, with the guy.
You probably program it to turn down the AC in the place.
Can you go find stuff for me?
It'll tell you where it is. Like, yeah, and you can follow him. Oh, it'll make you crazy.
You just can't. They're asking too much of these refs, and so it's bound to happen. And that's what that is. The league, for what it's worth, there was, believe it or not, a already pre-scheduled competition committee meeting today, and Troy Vincent said that the second one they didn't like. The first one, I think they thought was the right call. Maybe he was a little bit more into the neck, because the neck is hands to the face. And the second one, they said, Vincent said, the foul wasn't there after reviewing the tape on the second illegal hands to the face penalty, and that it's not the kind of call you want to see the officials make. So they thought the second one was worse than the first. The thing that people are missing on the second one, and Booger McFarland, you know, I thought overshot it on his call as well, is that it cost him the game. No. The Packers would have had fourth down at the Detroit 16-yard line, down 2 points. That would have been a 34-yard field goal, where Mason Crosby's 90-plus percent on in his career and on the year. That's the extra point, basically. So, and Detroit was out of timeouts. They had burned all three timeouts. So for Detroit to then come back and win, Crosby would have probably made the kick, odds are. No guarantee, but odds are he makes the kick. And then for Detroit to win, they would have had to go down and kick a field goal with no timeouts on the clock in 90 seconds, no timeouts in their pocket and 90 seconds on the clock. I'll say again, Prater was great in this game. He made every kick. So, you know, if you get inside of 55, a decent, you know, chance that he's going to make it. But that still had to happen. It's not, people are acting like, oh, the game ended on that play. It wasn't even close to ending on that play.
Prater's always had a big leg too, right? I mean, you know, he's older now.
But well, he had a good night.
Yeah, he's 5 for 5, right?
Yes, we've got Jason in the car on the Michael Bennett situation. Hi, Jason.
Yeah, I think you guys are dead on. The suspension's a little ridiculous. You can't tell me this type of thing doesn't happen across the NFL on a weekly basis.
Oh, no. Hold on. Joe, whoa. I'm not saying it's ridiculous. I'm saying to say it's a philosophical difference is a bold-faced lie. If it's just a philosophical difference, you're not suspending him for that.
Exactly. And look at, what happened with Brady and his philosophical difference on the sideline with Josh McDaniels. There's no suspension for that. That was on national TV.
Thank you.
The point is that if Bennett was a contributor, this wouldn't be an issue at all. And he's not a contributor right now. I don't know if there's some rumors about him being a trade piece. I think if he was really going to be on the books for a trade, that they probably would have swept this under the rug and not mentioned it, because who wants this problem? They knew what they were getting with him. And I think the bottom line is that he's not a contributor right now.
Well, they should have known what they were getting with him. I mean, every team that he's been on has bailed on him, and he's a great player. So you do the math. What does that mean? And if you can't fit in a place like Philly or Seattle, where it's more player-friendly and guys are allowed to be themselves and all that, what makes you think it's going to work here where you're not allowed to be that? So they just miscalculated on the player, it feels like. But don't tell me it was no philosophical difference, unless you consider philosophical differences smashing someone in the face or threatening to do so.
No, he threatened to knock his head back down through his neck. That's what happened. He said, I'm going to whack you on the top of the head, and it's going to go right down into your chest, you know, your chest cavity.
And Bielma said, no, please don't, and that was their philosophical difference.
So yeah, I mean,
that was the disagreement.
He threatened to snap him in half. That's what he did. That was the philosophical difference. I'm going to snap you in half. I'd prefer you not. No, I'm going to do it. And that was it. He did. He was going to take his fist, whack him on the top of the head, and watch his head go right down into his neck.
So the last time you had something like this, they finally traded the guy, and that was Moss. He threatened to get into it with, I think it was Bill O'Brien.
I think that's right.
Halftime of a Miami game early in the season.
I bet O'Brien was ready to fight,
too. No question. All right, let's give you the email of the day. We haven't done this in a while. Let's give you one here. Go ahead. If we could, Jimmy.
It's the Moncast email.
Felga, I fucking hate you, and I think Maz is a douche.
The Mimecast email of the day.
Send one to Felger at 985thesportshub.com.
So this is from Christian. This is off of yesterday's conversation. At one point, Murray called DeAndre Hopkins something Nuke Hopkins?
Yeah, but I actually believe it's pronounced Nook. But either way, that he's had
Nuck.
That
what's Nuck?
It's a pacifier he used to use as a kid. It's a type of pacifier.
It's a Nuck-Nuck.
Yeah, and so he got that as a baby, and it stuck.
So that's different than Nuke.
But a lot of people think it's Nuke. That's why, I mean, I thought it was that for years.
So it's Nook?
Nook.
No, well, yeah, the N-U-K, it's a pacifier. Yeah.
Nook, okay.
Not Nuck? Nook?
Whatever.
Either way, that's different than Nuke.
Yeah, like Nuke-a-loosh.
Nuke! You know, and I just have a thing, and I sort of jumped on Murray because I do sort of have a thing about grown-ass men calling guys by their nickname. And I do my best to almost never do it. Like, I'm sure I've slipped up, and I'm sure I've done it without meaning to, but I do my best. It's rare for me to even say Gronk. I do my best to say Gronkowski. And, you know, and it the Bruins thing is out of control. Z, Luch, Marshy, like all this. I don't think you'll ever hear me say it unless it slips. I don't mean to. So I think there's something wrong with a grown-ass man calling a guy by his nickname.
See, I don't think Gronk's really a nickname. I think it's a shortening of the last name.
Even on that one, I try and never do Gronk. I always try and go Gronk. It's like a grown-ass man wearing a jersey.
Yeah, I have no problem with this. I wanted a Pavel jersey, a Burry jersey my whole life, and now I can afford one, so I bought a throwback.
Big Jim Murray's bogey. Excuse me? What was that?
You mean bogey?
You mean bogey. Yeah, so I don't even like doing that. Bogey, Marshy.
Shill.
Never mind Megatron.
Mookie.
Nuke. So anyway, I jumped on Murray a little bit for that. And then he said it's easier to say Megatron than it's easier to say Calvin Johnson. Christian writes in for the Mimecast email of the day. Jim is right. Saying Megatron is easier than saying Calvin Johnson. Just like saying Havatron is easier than saying Havarti on Focaccia. Or whatever. Stop being a douche, Felger. Sincerely, Christian. So Christian coming to
the Havatron toasted focaccia?
The Havatron toasted focaccia?
Oh, that's
and then, of course, there's Matt McCarthy's favorite dish.
My takey mushroom melt.
that was one of the all-time best
My takey mushroom melt.
One of the all-time best commercial reads ever.
Fair enough, Christian. Touche.
Havatron.
The Mimecast email of the day is brought to you by Mimecast, the official cyber resilience email provider of the New England Patriots. Protect your business email from cyber attacks with cloud solutions from Mimecast. That's Mime, M-I-M-E, Mimecast.com. Go there today. Final word comes your way next. The Havatron toasted focaccia.
You're listening to Felger and Mass on 98.5. The Sport. Felger's expert analysis.
Not from this talk radio crazy.
Maz's hard-hitting questions.
What am I, like the freaking abrasive police here?
The caller's bringing knowledge to the table.
Maz, the adults are talking.
It's time to recap this four-hour show in 4 minutes. It's the final word on Felger and Maz on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
And the final word is brought to you by Town Fair Tire. If you're looking for the best deal on tires, there is only one place to go. That's Town Fair Tire. The best prices and great free services. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. All right, one piece of sound in the final word today. That will be the 10 questions recap put together by Hardy of Zolak and Bertrand. The 10 questions recap with Greg Bedard of Boston Sports Journal.
Here we go.
And the Vegas, what is it now?
Journal Review.
Thank
Review
you.
Journal, yeah. Something like that. Mm-hmm. We're going to start, you know, just roading, plowing you.
Number 10, Greg, who would you rather have? Jason Garrett or Mike Tomlin?
The Bullet.
Oh, I get it. I get jokes.
Your thoughts on the new Jets uniform?
I don't like them. I like
them. Oh, wrong answer. Number 8, if Kyle Allen takes over permanently in Carolina, where would be a good landing spot for Cam Newton? And let's sex this up a little bit, okay? How about you trade him in the next 2 weeks? Okay. Number 7, the Chargers attempted to Rickroll Steeler fans. The Steeler fans took over the stadium and went nuts, and it pissed off all the Chargers players, and it blew up in their face. It didn't work. This is all a long way of asking, do the Chargers...
Never gonna give you up, never gonna let you down, never gonna run around and desert you.
Give me the 5 grossest fan bases in the NFL.
Okay.
Barf me out. Get you the spoon.
The Jets are...
Ready to the max. I'm sure.
Okay.
Really nauseating.
They are. I mean,
bark out. out. Gag me with a spoon.
Yeah.
Gross. I am sure.
Not fun.
Totally.
Who is currently the biggest tool bag head coach in the NFL?
Mike Tomlin.
Oh, wrong answer. Bedard, your thoughts on Bill O'Brien going for it on 4th and 3?
I love it.
Wrong answer. Please rank the NFL quarterbacks until you get to Jimmy Garoppolo.
Wilson, Garoppolo.
Ooh, excellent. Last one. If you had to be a fan of either the Browns or the Lions, either one, which one would you pick?
I would pick the...
Never gonna give you up. Never gonna let you down. Never gonna run around and desert you.
I mean, they light themselves on fire and have public sex.
That would be Bills fans.
All right, Hardy, thank you. Appreciate it as always.
Do they really light themselves on fire?
Yeah, you haven't seen like Bill's Mafia videos when they like jump into the flaming tables?
They light the table on fire, jump on it, and then they catch on fire what happens.
Yeah, I've seen that where they jump on the table.
Zombie apocalypse, group. All right, here comes Jones and Arcan. What do you two guys got today?
Oh, we got one whopping hour taking you up until what's left of the Celtics. We might actually see a little taco time tonight. They take on the Cleveland Cavaliers.
How do you feel about taco time?
That's so stupid. It's such a waste of everyone's time. Like, it's nice in the preseason, I guess. Circus can come to Cleveland. That's great. You know, everybody can go see a show. That's great. And I guess it's good for the whole state of Maine. That'll be nice. But for here with the Celtics,
I'm in on the freak show. I like taco. I'm in. Give me the 8 foot tall guy who can, you know, has to bend over to dunk.
Like, no, I'm looking forward to sitting on the bench with his, you know, knees up above his head all season long for the 45 days he's on the roster. That'll be good. That's a good good get for the Celtics.
I like it.
So maybe we'll see him tonight. In the meantime, we got like an hour. Maybe a Michael Bennett talk. Arcan's got his kicker too, right?
Yeah. Italian ice.
Oh,
my
man,
Italian ice Tavecchio. I was talking about him 2 weeks ago.
Really?
When they were first looking for the kicker, yes. Because he was a free agent. He was on Atlanta, I think. He came in for whoever they had over there. It was pretty good. And then they just released him. So now you got Italian ice right here in Gillette. I hope they sign him. I really do. I'm leading that charge. Tony, I can see it in your eyes. You're with me, right?
Oh, no. I'm totally in on Gio.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm
Did you look up the name?
No, God, no. I just heard the name Gio. I said, that's it. I don't need to hear anymore.
But does it mean something like Garoppolo's galloping chicken, dude?
You didn't get on Felger's website there and go back and trace, are there any Tavecchios deep in the family history?
I'm sure it's got to be short for Giovanni.
No, the last name. What does it mean?
No,
better than Nugent is what it means.
there you go. Badoomtis. We've got no commercials. Update. And then Arcand and Jones. Enjoy it. We're back at it tomorrow, too. We'll see you then, Anthony.
Bye.